Let's meditate that while we... You ready? Okay. So, Father, we just thank and praise you because you're good to us, Father. We thank you for the word of God that permeates our very being. We thank you that in you we live, we move, and we have our very being, Father. And we thank you that the word that we hear tonight will help us to maintain what you've already done for us, Father. You've already paid the price by healing. So, Father God, I just ask that you just help us to walk that out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, last week we studied how to maintain your healing and walk in divine health. And we talked about our main scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we talked about is that your spirit, your soul, and your body need to be submitted to God for you to remain healed and to walk in divine health. Through the Lordship of Jesus Christ, believers must realize that God sees us absolutely perfect right now, without defect, and we must come to an understanding and partake of our oneness with the Anointed One and His anointing to resist anything that comes along to take away that state of perfection. God sees us totally healed and whole right now. And when we became born again, our spirit man became alive unto God. And in that, we became totally healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole, sound, and well. And what we have to learn how to do is to take that what's on the inside of us in our spirit man and to make sure that our soul and our body line up with that. And so that's our part. Jesus has healed us. He's done his part. Now it's our responsibility to walk in divine health. It's our responsibility to take what he's done from us and transfer it to our soul and to our body. Just remember that your body makes no decisions by itself. Our spirit man should be the one dictating to our soul, our will, our intellect, and our emotions what the word of God says. And therefore, the body will follow the dominant one. And so what we want to do is transfer that healing that's on the side of our spirit, that's made our spirits whole, into our soul and into our bodies. We talked about that you, your spirit, soul, and body are to be whole, that the spirit man is made whole in salvation through the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which is Romans 10:9, that he delivered, healed, preserved, made his will whole and sound, that the spirit man must be born again, saved, made whole, to understand the fullness of what God meant when he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The natural man cannot understand that. In order for him to understand that God has made us whole, he has to be born again. God relates to us through who he is in that spirit, spirit to spirit. And when man is dead, he cannot understand the things of God. So when you're talking to a sinner, you must talk to him from the standpoint of natural to the natural. And there are times that you can take the spirit and explain it in a natural, give natural examples. I'll go there. Just like nature. God made us in his image and likeness. You don't have a dog mating with a cat. You don't have a female dog mating with a female dog. You have a male dog mating with a female dog. That's the nature of God. So as humans, man shouldn't be with man. Women should be with women. That's not the nature of God. He made us like himself. Nature portrays the God. I'm going to go there. Okay? So you can just show man how God is through the natural, because he said that man just looking at what he's made should know God. Amen. Your soul must come under and stay submitted to the rulership of the kingdom of God in order for you to rule in this earth realm. You cannot be in the world trying to act like the world and then get some authority under Jesus Christ and get things done. No, as a born-again believer, your authority comes from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Your authority is no longer submitted to the enemy, so you should be submitting yourself to God. How do you submit yourself to God? By submitting yourself to his word. That's how you submit to God. God wants your whole being, your spirit, soul, and body whole, so his kingdom is established in the earth and man can be reconciled to God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:18. So you didn't get saved, delivered, healed, preserved, made well, whole, and sound unto yourself. You received those things, so now that you can take who you are to the earth, in the earth realm, so that man, what is the mission of Victory Christian Church International? All men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. What is our part? That all men be saved and come into knowledge of the truth concerning healing. So we're supposed to take that truth into the earth realm and advance the kingdom of God with the truth that we receive, not holding on to yourself. That's why it's so important that you learn it so that you have confidence in what you know, because what you have confidence in, you will share. Yeah. So tonight, and we talked a whole lot about all that I just mentioned. So if you weren't here, I might encourage you to get the CD. Now, what we're going to talk about is this. This is the second part of part one in A. To fulfill the Great Commission, believers must learn how to maintain, to preside over their being, to receive, maintain, and walk in the divine health, because Jesus has already obtained healing for us. Like I said, we're to go forth and speak the truth. We have a commission with God to go forth and minister his life into the earth realm. And so how do you do that? Our definitions, how? In the Strong's, in the Old Testament, it meant which, who, when, or what. In the New Testament, it means in what way. Then Webster, who was a Christian, his definition, it says in what manner or way for that person, or for what reason, to what extent or degree, to what effect. Many people know it's God's will for them to be healed, but they just don't know what to do. They don't know what to pray. They don't know what to say in order for them to maintain what God has already done for them, or if we're resisting anything, then how to manifest what God has already provided for us. There's in Leviticus 11 chapter, God gives man, he tells man, what the Israelites what to eat. He separated them unto himself and he told them, this is what you're supposed to eat and this is how you'll maintain your healing, doing it this way. And when we go to the New Testament, you see that God said everything he made was good. And so we're not bound by what he told the Israelites to do. Now, whatever we do, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're not on a bunch of rules and regulations, but if God says for you not to eat something, don't eat it. Mm-hmm. If God says do this, do it. If he said don't do this, don't do it. Because he knows you. He knows your body. He knows your background. He knows what you can deal and what you can't. And one thing that I'll say, when you listen to people in their testimonies about how God took them off of this and that, if you listen to them, most of the time what I have found, they have gone overboard. Eating 2 gallons of ice cream a day. You know, every time they ate ice cream, 2 gallons. Or they take Pepsi and drink a whole liter of Pepsi a day. Come on. You know, it's things like that that you hear their testimony while God talking. You were foolish. It's not doing stuff in moderation. Eating bacon every day. Eating ham every day. Come on. You find what most of the time is people have gone overboard. They have not done things in moderation. Okay? And so I know one of the things that even to this day, that my in-laws, they put some rolls down and they remember 30 years ago that I liked rolls and just eat them all. 30 years ago! They still hold me accountable. I don't do that anymore. 99.9% of the time. You know? And so you have to do things. We are led by the Spirit. We're not led by a bunch of rules and regulations. We're led by the Spirit. And so people have to know what to do. In Proverbs, turn to Proverbs 4:12. Proverbs 4 and 12. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. God gives you direction. If he tells you, like I said, to do or not to do something, obey him. Because he knows how that affects you. And that's why when you're seeking God, yes, it's wonderful to hear one another's testimony and God told me to do this and God told me to do that and he took me off of this. But you got to go to God for yourself. You can't stand before God or somebody else's testimony. You have to go before God for yourself and find out what God is saying to you personally and what you should do. And number two, we need to seek Jesus as our shepherd to know what to do when attacked with sickness, disease, depression, or all oppression of the enemy. In the New Testament, Jesus gave the leper what to do. Let's turn there. I found this very interesting because, you know, I've said this and I'll probably say it over and over again. When a man or woman of God declares healing over you, do you stop there? Do you just take their word and do nothing with what they've given you? And I'm just going to give you an example here of what even when Jesus pronounced healing over this man, he still gave him direction. And so in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, large crowds followed Jesus. Matter of fact, do you have it? No, you have 8? Anybody got Matthew's 8 yet?
I do.
Okay.
And Jesus said unto them, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to thy priest, and offer the gift that Moses...
No, I want you to start at 1.
Hmm?
Start at 1, Matthew 8.
Mm-hmm. When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no one, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
See, Jesus tells him to what? To be healed. But yet he still gave him direction. And so what that tells me, even when I declare my healing, or the man or woman of God declares healing on me, there's still more to do. It's not just to go and go your own way. There is still more to do. Jesus still gave him direction of what he needed to do to complete the process. And so don't think that once you've declared healing over yourself, you can just go home and business as usual. No, you've got to get in the Word of God and meditate that Word. Kenneth Copeland gives a testimony from what happened to him lately. He was resisting a cold, and he was pronouncing the word, declaring the word, and things got a little bit better, but then they got worse. He said, okay, God, I know you didn't miss it, so how did I miss it? And he told him, he says, you know, the memory of a potato does not fill you up. In other words, you've been saying it, but until you put it in your eyes, you're not partaking of it. And so how many times do we hear the word, quote the word, but we never sit down and put the word of God in our eye gates? And so that's where your meditation time, you got to put it in your eye gates, because through your eyes, through your ears, and through your mouth is how things get in your heart. Just not through your ears, not just through your mouth. It's all three that has to partake of it. And so it's important that we sit down and see the word, meditate that word, hear that word. Because those how the word of God gets in your heart. And through getting into your heart, then being in your heart, you'll begin to do the word that you hear. You'll begin to do the word that you see. You'll begin to do the word that you speak. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? And so Jesus gave the leper, so go forth from here when you get a word and go home and put it in your eye gates. Don't just, okay, I heard it at healing school, I'm good to the next healing school. No. I want to ask you, how bad do you want it? Because the more you cannot tell me that if I pour life in, death can stay. Because life is more, far beyond any power of the enemy. But it's how much life are you putting? You just put in a dab of water and some orange juice. The orange juice is sickness. And a dab of just a teaspoon of water, which is the word. And you put that in. And you expect the orange juice to dissipate. It ain't going to happen. You put more word in than you got orange juice in there. The orange juice is going to flood. One day it's going to be gone.
Amen.
And in the meantime, you can just believe God that the fact that God is going to keep you until such that time. See, that's the awesomeness with God. That I don't have to get concerned that is it going to work for me? You know, what I die in the process? No. God is going to keep me until such time that word that I am partaking of overpowers it.
Amen.
That's the assurance that I have that I don't have to get nervous and get concerned. That word is going to keep me.
Amen.
It says how to maintain. Maintain in the Strong's in the Old Testament is to do, to make. In the New Testament, it means to preside, to rule, to practice. It's amazing how you think you know words until you look them up. And so it's difference in wording. So, you know, as I continue to encourage you to get your concordance when you're studying, to look up words. Just don't assume you know what they mean because you had it in the New Testament. And when I'm reading in the Old Testament, you think it means the same, and it does. We're in two different dispensations and two different covenants. And so under the Old Covenant, in the Webster, it means to keep or keep up, to carry on, to keep in continuance. So under the Old Covenant, Israel had the ability to maintain or keep sickness and disease away from them by obeying God. It's supposed to be Exodus 15:26. Okay. Anybody has it?
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord who heals you.
And so, see, they had to do something. See, remember, maintain means to do in the Old Testament. They had to obey God in order to keep their healing. Okay? Slander. It says you have to obey God. Slander means and complaining against leaders resulted in sickness and disease. So a way or how to remain healed, don't complain against your leaders. To be healed, Mary had to stay outside the camp for 7 days. Let's look at Numbers 12. If somebody gets there, let me know. And someone goes to the next scripture, so you'll be ready to read it for me.
12:13-15. So Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face,
is that right?
Would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back.
And so here, she had to get to the place where she could, the whole tribe could move on. But she had to stay outside the camp for 7 days. Mary and they had complained. And so it brought sickness and disease on her. So she disobeyed God. And he said, if you want to stay healed, then you're going to have to obey me. Okay? They had to keep the law in their own strength. I want you to take note of that. Number two. Go ahead, Kelsey. Read two.
224.
No. Read the number two on your outline. As well.
We need to seek Jesus as our shepherd to know what to do
Mm-mm.
when attacked.
What do you have? Number 2B.
Oh, I'm on 1-2. Two.
Okay.
2B. Be here.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, here. Two. Mm-hmm.
Here?
Yeah, number two.
Mm-hmm. Under the new covenant through Jesus, God has already provided healing for us in our own salvation. Believers have the ability to preside over themselves, to receive, maintain, and walk in divine health.
Okay, go ahead, do some A.
Believers partake of communion and receive spiritual strength.
Okay. Now, in John 6, 53 to 55, see, they, and actually, I'm not going to get there. No, I don't want to get there. Okay. In John, I'll read John. Do you have John? What scripture do you have?
I have 1 Peter.
Okay, read 1 Peter.
1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
And so Jesus took stripes upon his back, and healing belongs to us because Jesus paid the price for it. It already belongs to us. Okay. In John 6, 53 to 55. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And so here we have Jesus is our Passover lamb. We're going to get there in shortly. But Jesus is our Passover. So when we take communion, we're getting spiritual strength. Remember I said that the Old Testament, they only got strength in their own selves. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living on inside of them to help them to overcome. So they had to totally rely on being good by themselves. No Holy Spirit helping them. We have the Holy Spirit who helps us. B, the believer has, who has this mic? Do B.
The believer has the Holy Ghost to keep him preside over his healing, to obey God's word, to give the enemy no place to bring sickness. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a sparrow in its flying, the unserved curse goes nowhere. Is that right?
And so what that's talking about is the fact that we have to open a door for the enemy to attack us. He just can't come put sickness and disease on you. He can't just come push oppression on you. You have to open a door. A door somewhere has opened, whether it's ancestral, that because my 3 and 4 generations above started doing alcohol and no one stopped, it's going to pass down. So it doesn't necessarily have to be you that opened the door, but your ancestors, your heritage. But we have the blood of Jesus that we can stop it. We don't have to accept what my forefathers did. But it doesn't mean it's not going to affect me if I don't know my rights. So it's important that you know that I don't have to walk in anger. I don't have to walk contrary to because someone else was angry in my family. I don't have to because somebody was an alcoholic, because somebody was a drug addiction. I don't have to be that way. I can take authority and I can walk free from that. But you got to know that you can. And you got to know that you have the ability to. Because a lot of people, when you look at their generation, just goes on and on and on. Even with believers, because even though I'm saved, I have to walk upright before God and break that line that's there. Ephesians 4:27.
And do not make room for the devil.
So you don't make room for the enemy. Number C. God gave man dominion in earth, not sickness and disease or this world system. And so God has given man authority. You have authority over sickness and disease. You have authority over oppression. You have authority. It does not have to overtake you, but you must submit yourself to God's word. Number three.
God has the ability.
You can't do it all. Pass that mic.
Man has the ability to practice health. Genesis 1:29.
Mm-hmm. So the next person. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And God said, behold, I give you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which it is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat.
So you can practice health. God has put in the earth from everything we need to walk healthy. Okay. We can practice health. Remember, Jesus paid the price for our healing. We are responsible for our health. Proverbs 4:20-22.
My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh.
And so here we have the word of God itself. So you got the natural. God is giving you the natural in Genesis, but he's also giving you the word for the spiritual. So we should not fail because he's given the natural as well as the spiritual. And in Webster,
Christian definition of maintain, to keep in continuance, means it already exists, so it's man's responsibility to keep his healing, keep his health.
So here you go. It's your responsibility. B, he can go on, keep on doing it. Mm-hmm.
Believers want to keep continuing their healing that Jesus has already purchased, and resist all sickness that comes.
You have to keep. You have to continue. You. God is not going to do it for you. The preacher's not going to do it. Your spouse is not going to do it. Your children's not going to do it for you. You're going to have to be responsible for your health. See, you're not trying to obtain it. You're trying to keep what God has already provided for you. Number four. You can pass it to the next person.
Praise. To maintain is an active word. Maintaining is an active word. There is action on my part. James 2:26. But as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
And so you, remember, you're continuing, you have to do something. Go ahead, B.
Letter B. To have to do something in order for the enemy's actions not to overtake you. We're in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verses 30 through 34. Proverbs 24.
He that said unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people's curse, nation shall abhor him.
Proverbs 4:30. I went by the field of this saltfold, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the faces thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. Yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travailed, and thy want as an armed man. Amen.
And so here, a little sleep, a little slumber. Oh, you know, I'll rest today. I'll rest the next day. You keep on resting, sickness and disease will come upon you. You have to maintain. You have something to do. You can't just haphazardly walk in divine health. It has to be with purpose. It has to be with purpose. Amen. To Hosea 4:6.
Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed or cut off for lack of knowledge.
And so you have knowledge. You have to have knowledge. You go after knowledge. What do I need to do? How do I maintain this? It's not going to come just hitting you because you have a desire. It's going to come because you go after it. To maintain his health, the believer must walk, means to tread upon, to live out in what God has already provided for him, because the believer has an enemy who is trying to keep from him what God has already provided. You have it on the inside of you, but you have an enemy that is attacking you to take it away from you. When something belongs to you, that's something that you've got to realize. Healing belongs to you. When you have something, you don't allow people to just come take it. Don't allow the enemy just come take health from you. Don't let him take healing from you. You don't let him take, because you're not trying to get healing from the enemy. You're not trying to get healing. You're not trying to get health. It is already yours. And so you have to resist the enemy. You have to stop him from trying to take it. That means action on your part. Next. Number C, to walk.
To walk. Ephesians 5. Strong says to go about, forward, to tread, to live, be occupied with. Webster says to go on foot at a moderate pace, to go over, along, etc. on foot.
And so here you have, in the Old Testament, it means to go about, to forward. In the New Testament, means to tread. And so under the Old Covenant, coming out of Egypt, go ahead and read number one.
Under the Old Covenant, coming out of Egypt, God gave Israel riches, health, and strength, and through living in obedience, they could retain what was given them. Psalm 105:37, he brought out Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes, no one faltered.
And so here, it's not like we see on TV with, what is it, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Where they came, they were on crutches, people were carrying them. No, they came out whole, because see, remember, Jesus paid the price for us. We have healing because Jesus paid the price for us. They partook of the Passover lamb. So they came out healed. They weren't feeble. They weren't sick. They were healthy because they partook of the same lamb that we partook of. They partook of the lamb. And that lamb that they partook of was a representation of what was going to come for us. We take communion, get strength. They took communion. They did this Last Supper. So they received their healing during that time when they partook of the lamb. Same contrast with us. Read the next part.
Exodus.
No, after having taken. Did you read that? Under A.
A.
Israel left Egypt?
Yeah. Israel left Egypt. We didn't do Exodus 15:26. Okay.
Go ahead.
Israel left Egypt healed because God said, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Exodus 15:26.
Go ahead.
After having taken the Passover supper, Israel left Egypt strong. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Exodus 12.
Because they took of the Passover lamb. Just like we take over the Passover lamb, Jesus, they took of the Passover lamb. Go ahead, B.
After having taken of the Passover supper, Israel left Egypt strong. There was not one feeble person among the tribes.
Do B.
You see, once Israel disobeyed poverty, once Israel disobeyed, poverty, sickness, and weakness came upon them. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to complete the, to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And their people spoke against God and against Moses, wherein have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul longeth for light bread.
And so here, remember, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam complained, came against God, and got sick. They didn't learn their lesson. What happens in chapter 14?
Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord that he did in the... And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses, wherefore now do we transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is among you, that you will, so you will not be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hill to top. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in that hill, and smote them, and discomforted them even unto Hormah.
And so here we have, they don't disobey God, and then they're going to be wiped out. See, we disobey God, and we don't see it immediate. We usually don't see immediate repercussions or punishment for what we do. It takes a lot of times for us to feel the effects of our sin. But the moment that you commit, death starts taking place. God has made us so fearfully and wonderfully that our bodies are made to heal itself. So when we're attacked, our white corpuscles immediately starts working to heal us. And so that's why it behooves us when we sin, we repent, so that our bodies will not turn against us, so that our parts can do what God's called it to do. But when we continue to walk contrary, they can't help but continue along in the path of what God's called them. What happens? And it stops the process from our bodies healing itself. Number two.
Under the new covenant, God has given the believer everything he needs for life and godliness through the lordship of Jesus Christ. But the believer must tread, occupy, and live out what God has already provided for him, advancing the kingdom by resisting the attack of the enemy and ministering God's word so others can walk in their freedom as well.
See, 2 Peter 3:1-4 says he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. And I want to read the New Living Translation in Matthew 11:12. It says, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one of the prophets said would come, the one the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. It says the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are taking it. You have to be determined, as we said earlier, to make sure sickness and disease does not overtake you. So you're speaking the word and you're advancing. You're advancing, and you got an enemy that's forcefully trying to take sickness and disease from you.
Amen.
And so you got to keep pressing. You got to keep going forth, standing on God's word, meditating on God's word, speaking to others so that not only you get free, but the world and the world as well as Christians get free. You have to keep pressing forward. See, the enemy is coming at you with a vengeance. When cancer comes, they say, you look under a microscope and look how cancer, it is ugly. It is violent. And it's coming after you. But we have the word of God, and so that's why it's important that we put the word of God in there. Diabetes is wiping people's kidneys out. It's slow forming, but you get down the line. Because sickness and disease is death. And it's working on you. As I said earlier, your body is so filthy, man, it's constantly trying to heal it. But if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, your body is not going to win. And so the believer stands on the word of God, resisting sickness and disease. James 4:7, anybody got that?
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Read number B.
The believer speaks God's word, using his offensive weapon to be in control of his life, so the world's diseases, statistics, diagnosis do not win. Do not take from him what is already his.
See, Matthew 8 says, speak the word. The centurion told him to speak the word. We have to speak the word. Ephesians 6:17. Anybody got it? It says, let's see. Go ahead.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
And so we had the word of God as our offensive weapon. We can always use it to cut down the enemy. Number C, the believer.
Believers are to walk in the light.
Go ahead, number three. Go ahead, three.
Number three, believers are to walk in the light of who they are in Christ. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord.
So
live as children of the light.
So it's important that we live as children of light. Was that the end of it? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We are children of the light, so we walk in the light of the word. In order to walk in the light of who we are in Christ Jesus, there are four pillars of health we must adhere to in order to maintain our healing and walk in divine health. And I'm just going to do these real quick. The four pillars of health, and this is taken from Don Kober's book, The Maker's Diet. No, it's not Don Kober. Is Reuben Jordan. Reuben Jordan's book. To maintain your healing, to walk in health. Physical. The physical includes the diet, nutrition, exercise, hygiene, and body therapies that emphasize the importance of living in a healthy environment. Number two, spiritual. We have the spiritual is to find our purpose in life. That's extremely important, because when you have a purpose to live, and you know what your calling is, you'll live. Mental, the ability to control our thought life and focus on a task at hand can shape who we are. Not concerned about the future, but what is at hand right now? Dealing with your mental, bringing it under subjection to the word. God says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, a harsh word stir up anger. See, we can bring our emotions under subjection, but we must submit it to the word of God. Emotional, how we handle daily stress, how we handle adversity defines us. See, every circumstance that you control, how you're going to respond to it. You control. The circumstance should not dictate your emotions. You, it's your determination how you handle stress. How do you look at things? Because when you look at them from the word, and when you keep your eyes on the word, we would not be stressful. Amen. That hurts. Yeah. Because just this morning, I'm concerned about finances. Till I started reading, till I meditate on Philippians 4:19, I was fine after that. See, but my mind, the circumstances changed from this morning from until I read it. Then the circumstances didn't change. It was my attitude toward those circumstances. Because when I put the word of God in me, then I was focused on the word and not my circumstances. And that's how we have to be in every situation. Who do we depend on? Our own ability, others, or God's? Who do you depend on? See, I was depending on my own ability. That's why I was upset. Okay. To incorporate these four pillars of health, of course, we're going to have to go to the Word of God and find out what God has to say in these areas. See, whenever you're reading a book, they may not give you all your answers. And what I do is I go to the Word, and how does this affect me? What does Word God says about these four pillars? See, he didn't go through all that in the book, but I had to find out what did God say about this stuff. Because, you know, this natural stuff is good, but then I have to relate it to, because my life is not built on the natural. My life is built on the spirit and what God says about something. So number two, the four pillars in scripture. Number A, anybody there? Or do we have that on your book, on your number two? You got your outline number two? Roman number one on page one of part two. Part two. Ever got a part two? Roman number one. Four pillars of health. Okay, number two. You're right, Mr. Taylor. Go on. On the second page, you're right. Okay, number two, the four pillars of scripture. Who's there? In scripture. Anybody. Somebody be ready for number two, please.
Number two.
No, number one.
Number
you go
one.
On.
God has a plan for you.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Is that John 29:11? Okay. And so God has a plan for you. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:6-9. Go ahead and read Jeremiah.
For I know the thoughts I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you hope and bring you to an expected end.
So God has a plan already for your life. 2 Timothy.
Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and has called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which are given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
And so God has a plan for you. Anybody got 1 Corinthians? I'll read it. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. And so you have a part in the body to play. Call upon the Lord for his plan. Call upon him. Everybody, Jeremiah 33. Somebody get the next scriptures, please. 33:3 says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. And so God has a plan for you. In 2 Timothy 1:6-16, the guy talks about the plan of God that God had for Timothy. Okay, so you have to know the plan of God for your life. Number two, who has number two ready? Read number two.
Learn your personality type so you understand your character and can submit who you are to God's character. If you're amiable, relationship-oriented, expressive, intuition-oriented, analytical, thinking-oriented, or driver, action-oriented.
See, those are your personality types. And so if you learn your personality types, you'll know what makes you tick. And then you submit that to the character of God. And that's important because you are not somebody else. And so you're not going to respond and react. If you're amiable, you're relation-oriented, you may not even concern yourself about thinking too much. You would just want to do something for somebody. Okay? So if you are expressive, intuition-oriented, you think. You know, you get this unction from God and you want to, you may just like, okay, let's go. Somebody else, the analytical one, to think it out first. You know? And so you have the driver who's, okay, let's get it done. They're not going to sit back and think all the time and try to figure everything out. They're ready to go. So you need all those type of persons when you're working on a project to keep everything flowing. Okay? Amen. Number three.
Study the spiritual, motivational, and ministry gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7-12 says.
No, we're not going to read all that. Okay. But in 1 Corinthians 12:7-12 is your spiritual gifts. And motivational gifts are in Romans 12:1-8. And your ministry gifts are in Ephesians 4:1. Go ahead.
A is spiritual, moves as God wills. B, motivational. What gives you your passion and desires, talents, skills? Number C, ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry, the full-time call. D, the best gifts. Best, whatever gift is necessary at the time. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Grace and faith is given you for the gifts God puts in you. Romans 12:6-3 and Ephesians 4:7.
Mm-hmm.
And F is identify your gifts.
And so it's important that you find out what your gifts are in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That ends our session. Because the CD has run out. Amen.
Amen.
Because I know there's a lot of information, guys, but it's important that you find out how you operate and find out what your gifts are so that you won't